And welcome back. It may surprise you to know that more women than men suffer from strokes and that more women die as a result. That more die as a result of strokes than breast cancer, for instance. That's a surprising fact. One of the reasons is that women suffer different symptoms than men, and those symptoms are not well known. This is Stroke Awareness Month, and we wanted to get the word out about women and strokes. Joining me in studio is Dr. Amer Ashekli, a neurologist at SSM Neurosciences Institute. He specializes in neurovascular issues, including strokes. Doctor, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's define a stroke before we start with anything else.
A stroke is basically an acute change in the neurological function. And most of these because of a clogged artery, blocked artery in the brain, or a ruptured artery in the brain or a ruptured vein in the brain. So by definition, it's divided into two major subgroups. The big one is when an artery in the brain gets blocked, and that leads to sudden change in function.
So why are more and more women suffering from strokes?
That's an epidemiologic issue, and of course it translates into public issue. And since you brought it in the face of the breast cancer, let's talk about statistics. I mean, statistics is, I think it's important here. Currently, there are about 6.8 million survivors of stroke. When you compare this to 2.8 million of breast cancer, that's a big number. Mm-hmm. But that includes both genders. I mean, if we divide it by men and women, 3.8 million women currently with disability in the United States as a stroke survivors compared to 2.8 million with breast cancer. So that is a big number. That's, of course, is a public health issue. The lifetime risk of stroke in women, again, if you stratify this by men and women, is going to be different. It's higher in women than men. And it's higher in a range of 20%, so 1 in 5. And, of course, this is going to be different for older women. By the way, women live longer than men. I don't know if you know that. And
I do.
Yeah, about 5 years, an average of 5 years. So that's why things aggregate by the end of life. Overall, the lifetime risk of stroke in women is going to be 20% compared to 17%. Lifetime risk of breast cancer now decreased to about 12%. So that's difference made a little bit of a public awareness.
Is this something that has developed recently, or the fact that women suffer so many strokes, so many more strokes than – is this – a new phenomenon?
I have to say this is a new statistics and trend statistics. Women is known to have different incidence and prevalence compared to men from stroke point of view. And that is basically because of a few issues. I mean, in women, there's genetic factors different from men. And for example, genetic factors, there's autoimmune diseases and much more common in women, such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and these by themselves are risk factors for stroke. Women have more migraine, for example. There's a specific type of migraine. They call it migraine with aura. That's genetically determined. As almost 17% of women suffer from migraine compared to 6% of men, and that places them at a higher risk. And, of course, there's another factor, which is the biggest one. That is the hormonal and reproductive factors. The woman life is different. They have the reproductive period between age 15 and 45. That's where the hormone is going to flush in their system. And, of course, the risk of stroke is going to be higher.
Again, at that age group?
In that age group, yes.
Okay.
Yes. For example, pregnant women. Compared to non-pregnant women, and there's some sort of statistics about, I think, 35 in 100,000 pregnant compared to 20 in 100,000 non-pregnant, same age, have more strokes. Why? During the pregnancy, there is, as I said, because of the hormonal changes, because of the placental changes, the risk of high blood pressure is much higher. There's a condition called pregnancy-induced hypertension. There's a condition called preeclampsia. When the hypertension gets really severe, the protein is going to leak out in the urine. Women appear more swollen. There's a condition called eclampsia when the blood pressure goes really high and cause them seizures, sometimes brain bleed. All of these raise the risk of having TIA or stroke or brain hemorrhage in women compared to men during the pregnancy period. So pregnancy itself is a risk factor. Now, there's more interesting statistics actually of that. So patients or women whom they were pregnant and had hypertension on any of these conditions that I mentioned, they have even higher risk of having TIA and strokes late after the pregnancy is over. Furthermore, babies whom they were born to women with these problems during the pregnancy, those babies also have later life risk higher than babies whom they were born to a normal woman. So there's some changes during the pregnancy that contribute to a late risk of TIA and stroke.
I have in my notes here that oral contraceptives may also be a factor.
Oh, you just brought it up. That's another big issue. Yeah. Oral contraceptive is a risk factor. It's commonly used, you know, between age 15 and 45 during their reproductive period. And if I recall, there's a study about that, a study in a large sample, 10 million women, something like that. They followed those women whom they used the oral contraceptive. They found out that the risk of stroke is twofold higher than women whom they didn't use the contraceptive. Furthermore, women with contraceptive and obese, fourfold higher than women whom they haven't had any contraceptive. Women with high cholesterol and oral contraceptive, tenfold higher to have a stroke. So it really depends on the use of the oral contraceptive and whatever comorbid situation, that's to say, whatever risk factor that the woman have in addition to the oral contraceptive. But yes, oral contraceptive by themselves is considered prothrombotic. That's to say, it's prone to person to have more thrombus formation and clotting in their blood, and of course raise the risk of stroke.
You mentioned migraines a couple of moments ago, and I have heard it said that migraines are in fact a mini stroke, a kind of a stroke.
Yes, that's a big subject. Now, overall, if we look at the statistics, patients with migraine with aura, which is a specific type of migraine, have 1.5-fold increase compared to a person who doesn't have or patient doesn't have migraine. There are atypical symptoms can happen with migraine, and those atypical symptoms sometimes mimic. It appears like a stroke, and of course confuses the person, confuses the physician, and most of the time we treat it. We have to give it the chance that this is really a stroke until we are 100% sure. So we get all the stroke needed workup and to make sure that the person is not really at risk of having a stroke. But you're right. I mean, a migraine self sometimes behave in a way it appears like a stroke, but it's not really a true stroke.
What other conditions peculiar to women could lead to a stroke threat?
As I said, the list of autoimmune diseases that women have, the use of contraceptive, the migraine, and of course, if you go back, similar to men, high blood pressure, atrial fibrillation, which is an irregular heartbeat, all of these aggregate with age, similar to men. In particular, the irregular heartbeat and high blood pressure, it was found it's more in women than men. Therefore, the type of stroke is going to be different. More women is going to have more disabling stroke than men.
Well, that was another issue I wanted to get to, and that is that, just as you indicated, women suffer a greater degree of disability than men.
That's right. Disparities exist in many ends, and one of the disparities has been found that women arrive late to the emergency room. Why? Because of the recognition of the symptoms. Recognition is because of the atypical features, because of the migraine component, because of the pain component. Because of the dizziness component, more dizziness appears in women than in men. And in the eyes of the physician, of course, dizziness usually relates to the inner ear dysfunction. But many of those turn to be a true stroke. Yes, there is a disparity. By the time they arrive to the emergency room, of course, they are going to be delayed. So one of the things that we use in the emergency room is called the clot-busting medicines. Well-known, big randomized clinical trial appeared from the NIH in 1996 and showed that this medicine works.
Blood thinners.
Actually, it's a clot-busting medicine. Ah. So it lyses the thrombus. When the thrombus block the vessel and inside the head, we give these medication. And the early we give it, the better the outcome. And it turned out that women show up late. And even when they show up late, they have even when they show up early, they have atypical symptoms that makes some confusion. So there's a study about this actually shows that women whom they arrive within 2 hour window, they are given this medicine less in percentage compared to men. So I think if about 68% compared to 72%, this is about 4 or 5% difference. And basically because of the atypical presentation.
Well, the key to survivability from stroke, as I've always heard, is quick response to it. There's even an acronym they use, the FAST,
FAST
concept.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Recognition is the key. You recognize the symptoms, you report it as early as possible. I mean, it requires a lot of public awareness as well. I mean, we are DePaul Hospital, for example. We do public awareness like twice, three times a year to public, invite them, come in and understand what kind of symptoms that you could suffer from stroke. And you have to report it as early as possible because there are treatment nowadays of stroke. In the old days, stroke is pretty much disability. But nowadays, if early treatment, opening up the vessel as early as possible, it leads to better outcome.
I'd like to open the lines in the time we have left to see if there are folks out there that want to have specific questions about women and strokes. 382-8255 is the number. Give us a call if you would, or send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Survivability. What is the difference between men and women in the survivability factor?
As I said, it's like 3.8 million patients with stroke are currently surviving compared to 3 million. So it's a 55%. Higher in patients with in women with stroke, but the problem is disability is more because of the type of the stroke that they suffer from. It's usually large stroke. Usually, it's a cardioembolic stroke. It's a clot coming from the heart, migrate up to the brain, and block a major vessel. The disability and the rehab from the stroke in women also differ from men. And I have to say that depression is common in women as a pre-existing condition. And depression after stroke is also common. And that makes it really a combined problem in women compared to men. Of course, depression impair the good rehab after stroke.
You know, you've given a number of conditions that exist in women that are cause for concern and symptoms, if you will. But is there a list of symptoms beyond migraine headaches and that sort of thing that you can give us because they are different than men, so that women can really have a full understanding of what might be going on?
Yeah. Stroke in general can affect any function, and this function could be the motor function, for example. Paralysis, that's the biggest and most common alerting symptom that the patient or the person come to the hospital and usually lacks the pain component. Vision loss, it's common and usually can happen with migraine. Speech disturbance, again, can happen with stroke, can happen with patients with migraine. But I advise any person, including men or women, if they have any of these features, have to be reported to the emergency room as soon as possible. As I said, because the majority of the stroke, they don't have pain component. I've seen many patients, when they start having symptoms, they try to sleep to see if they're going to get better in the morning or after a few hours. And by the time they wake up, they are really beyond the repair, beyond the window that we can give them any help.
But, you know, the symptoms that you've just described there are symptoms that I'm familiar with regard to men. It's the same, but there are some symptoms that are quite different for women.
The headache component, and the headache component is much more common in women than men, and the dizziness components, that patients feel lightheaded. They are not right. Again, if they are going to ignore it, that's going to be an issue down the road. Now, you mentioned earlier that bleed in the brain. The bleed in the brain is another type of stroke. It's less common type of stroke, but unfortunately more common in women, particularly that's where there is an aneurysm in the brain that rupture. And when there is an aneurysm in the brain, rupture leads to major catastrophic results. And the headache is somewhat different, and usually it's a major type of headache, unlike what usually the woman with migraine experience.
There are certain hospitals in our area that are better equipped to deal with strokes, are there not? I mean, if you think you're having this kind of an episode, can you tell after you've called 911, take me to this hospital or that hospital because they're better able to deal with it?
This is a big subject, of course, and nowadays the hospitals are classified according to the, as you said, the equipment, how much care they can provide to the patient. And the basics is that if you have symptoms, you have to report it as soon as possible. A couple of hospitals in the region, we ourselves are considered the highest accredited hospital at DePaul as well as Barnes Hospital. We are equipped to provide the care to stroke patients on a different scale than the general hospital. But still, the basics is that if you develop symptoms, whether man or woman, you have to report it to any hospital as soon as possible. And majority of the hospital nowadays, they know how much they can help the patient, and where to triage the patient. If they cannot handle the situation, they need more interventional component, for example, to take the catheter up to the brain and clean up the vessel, then they will have to take the patient to a different place.
But once again, speed is of importance. Yes, I have absolutely. A couple of calls here. Let's get them in as time allows. We'll be joined by Carlotta calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Carlotta.
Hi. The doctor mentioned that women who are on oral contraceptives or on contraceptives are more susceptible to a stroke. Does that include, like, years after you've stopped taking contraceptives? And also, what about hormone replacement therapy?
Very good question. The simple answer is that when you come off the oral contraceptive pill, the risk of having problems is going to drop. And I agree with you. I mean, this is an issue. When you take the oral contraceptive, you have to be closely monitored. You have to be in touch with your doctor. And if you develop any unusual symptoms, you have to report it right away. The hormonal replacement therapy is a different subject, and mainly used for a different population, because for the older population, it's not for the younger reproductive age. There are controversial studies about this. Estrogen, which is the big component of the hormonal replacement therapy, if it's used in high dosages, it can be injurious, and that's an issue. There are some studies suggesting lower dosages are actually more protective. So there are some ongoing studies in with regard to that. But again, I would recommend if you use hormonal replacement therapy for an older person or oral contraceptive pills for a younger person to be in close contact and report anything that comes unusual.
Well, we have time for one more call, I believe. Mary joins us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, I just had a quick question. I have a lot of the risk factors that you've already talked about, like autoimmune disease and migraines. Is there anything specific that can help kind of track and keep things in mind? So, like, make sure that your blood pressure remains low. Is there anything like that? You know, with heart disease, you tend to really track cholesterol levels, things like that.
Yeah, this is an issue. If you have multiple risk factors, and the more risk factors, you are going to be at risk of having TIA, stroke, or even heart problems. And each of this risk factor has to be addressed in details with your family doctor. Smoking is a big one. Obesity is a second big one. Of course, hypertension, atrial fibrillation. Any of these risk factors has to be addressed and has to be treated in a way separately but collectively in the same person to reduce the overall risk of stroke.
Is there a genetic component to all of this?
Yes. Yes. There's genetic component. And genetic component, as I said, there's an autoimmune diseases, which is genetically more common in women. Migraine is a genetic condition, more common in women. Thrombus formation, it's like, for example, there's what's called the cerebral vein thrombosis, thrombus formation inside the veins, more common in women than men. And we published actually a large series about this issue. Although the risk of cerebral vein thrombosis is still low, but it's a big issue. It's a big issue and can be detrimental as well.
What about an ethnic component?
We're taking as outside the, yes, there may be some ethnic components. Like, for example, in Asian population, their arteries hardens more likely than in non-Asian population. The high blood pressure is more common in African-American population. So there is some genetic ethnic relationship to the risk factors, but as again collectively end up into one thing, which is the stroke or even heart attack.
We have just 1 minute left. Let's leave our audience for the best advice you can give women in particular with regard to what they can do to deal with this.
Yeah, if you're healthy, if you went through the pregnancy without problems, I don't think that you are at any risk. If you had a problem during the pregnancy, if you had gestational diabetes, that's what they call it. If you had gestational high blood pressure, that's what they call it. You please make sure that you are at risk for a late onset or even at early onset of TIA or stroke. So report this. I mean, get in touch with your family doctor and make sure that they address these issues because it's important.
Yeah. I guess the best advice also is if you notice any changes at all.
That's right.
Do something about it.
I agree. Any symptoms that you develop, which is atypical, unusual. A lot of patients with migraine, a lot of women with migraine, they know their symptoms. But if something goes unusually wrong, please report it.
Lots of good advice for Dr. Amer Ashekli, a neurologist at SSM Neurosciences Institute. Thanks so much for being with us. As I say, a lot of useful advice, and I hope we had a lot of ladies listening.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with the new director of the St. Louis County Library, and we'll talk about the history and renovation of the Naked Truth Monument in the Copland Hill Reservoir Park along Grand Avenue. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.